Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Off-Centered Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dockstetter, along with my partner in crime,
the ever barefoot animal stuffing midget moron from Ojai,
Chuck Testa himself.
Fresh back from the show.
Absolutely.
If you'll notice, I had to put a strap on Matt to keep him from floating out of
can
the
you
chair.
Can you put a gap between those words?
Oh. I had to seatbelt Matt to the chair to keep him from floating to the ceiling.
We don't
ceiling.
Talk about strap-ons on this program.
I apologize. You know...
What you do in your private life, Chuck, is a right. whole other thing.
Well, like I said, if you take your enemas as prescribed, then you're not whatever.
Yeah.
But if you do it for recreation, we might be a question there.
Absolutely.
What I'm saying is you're floating from the show, man.
Absolutely. No, it was a hell of a weekend.
And now we don't have to say what each other did from Tuesday till because we were together in combat at the show. Well, you want to start or?
You're on a roll. Go ahead and you start.
Oh, my God. So this guy here, this one, I don't know how to contain him now. He's always been a powerhouse, but oh, my God. Two best of categories, two firsts. Five, well, you got trophies, you got paperweights, you got shingles, you got, oh my God. And then we did a seminar that was awesome, right?
Yeah, after we were done, I thought a lot more stuff we could have said and done, but that's how it goes.
And you know what? We apologized for that because our problem is, we go, and that, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not really a problem for us.
Yeah, we have one speed, unfortunately,
sometimes. Yeah, and then we slowed it down to half flank, you know, to show people, and then I had to keep remembering to say stuff, you know. And
yeah.
But we can do it again next year.
No, for sure. We'll do something.
I think I might just do what I was going to do. I might just bring something and find some corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And just work on something while you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah.
But what a show. What a turnout. We were not wondering, you were wondering how it was going to...
Yeah, I was kind of nervous on how we were going to do. But yeah, we ended up with 111 pieces in the show. About, I think, 70-something people. So it was a good time. It definitely could have been been bigger. But for still building back off of the Roni years, I think we did pretty damn good.
I think so, and I think next year definitely, well, always next year, I feel like what I saw there is it's just going to build on itself.
Yeah.
Now, I really so grateful that when I made you do, well, suggested, this was my goal in my head, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's working. I'm not taking credit for nothing. I mean, all I'm saying is...
Well, you can take as much credit as you need because, like I told you 100 times, without you and all the Fraser Clan's help, I would not be doing this anymore. I would be shifting gears, sitting on my ass.
Well,
in Peterbilt,
I appreciate that, but we did that because you deserve not to drive Peterbilt. You have plenty of talent. You just needed a little direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my hope was with Matt that he could get in on that board and start dropping some suggestions.
Yeah.
When you got an OG that's been there through the best time and then watched it and then walked away when it started to wreck because I was powerless.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just grateful that Matt came along, and not only just for that, but for some of the goals Fraser had. I'm just woke up and realized that, you know, when he said it took 20 years, but
yeah,
here we are.
Yep.
You know, and we accomplished the mission in a way. That this is kind of a little deep for guys that don't know, but that's okay. What that means is positive, you know, trying to get the system or foundation out and the whole deal.
Yeah, I think we definitely made some progress by leaps and bounds this year. So
yeah, and you make progress every year. It just blows my mind. And another thing I want to say, in case we don't, we'll probably say it with our guests, but you look at the quality of the taxidermy in that room of all levels. It's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even novice, open, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing. We had at least a half a dozen ladies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. More than that, I think.
Okay, well, I can only do 1, 2, 3 and many. Yeah. That's how I count. Uh-huh. But, and kids, whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Including Levi, who, God, I got to know my nephew more. Yeah. He's freaking hilarious.
He's something, all right.
Oh, my God. He goes, oh, it's easy. I go, oh, it's easy? He goes, yeah. You just put a little clay, some glue, and then you know. And he said, the hardest thing was the ear or something. I don't know. He was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. No, he's a crackpot, that kid.
Oh, God. And then the judge's comments, your tear ducts are better than I don't want to say.
Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah.
No, he's on cloud nine. He was a little bummed he didn't get to bring home hardware also, but like I told him, for his first time ever doing anything, he started at a way higher level than I did, and I was
a grown up,
12 years older than he was when he started.
Yeah, no. And then, oh my God, yeah, it just, I don't even know what to say. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And today's guest, we've been going through the history, but we decided to take. And we'll get back to the book
mm-hmm.
in between. And then, oh, what's the other thing? We picked up like 3 new listeners.
Yeah.
And one of them is Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise listens to this podcast.
That is a fact.
It is a fact. So we appreciate that. And maybe all his other celebrity friends will start to listen.
You just never know.
Yeah. Anyhow. That was a big shock to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyhow.
But no, I think your little talk there at the awards deal and then telling everybody else about the show, I think that ought to get us at least a listener here and there to one episode or two or whatever. So
yeah. So today we're going to have on the president of the association.
Yep, absolutely.
Kevin, I don't remember his last name, but
Kevin Tedder.
Tedder. Oh, God, Tedder's close to Torillo.
Not even at all.
Well, you're not me, so.
It's a word that has the A letter in it. It must be close.
It is. No, anyhow. What a good job he's done.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And I think, isn't this only his second, was last year his first year?
His first full year, yeah.
Wow. 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 Okay, wow. No, I mean, I don't want to pump these guys up, but this guy.
No, I knew as long as people would listen to him, Kevin would do a good job because he's done this over big groups before. He knows what he's doing. And yeah, like anything else, there's room to grow, room to change, room to expand, but
and he's listens.
Absolutely. That's the most important part.
Well, you have to be open to
he doesn't have the
that he knows
the
it all.
The master's ego yet.
Yeah, but I don't think he's gonna.
No, for sure.
And with taxidermy, he's like a sponge, too. He's like, when I was starting, you know, mm-hmm. God, I want to know this, that, the other, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Let me at it. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's a good dude, and we're going to call him here in just a minute.
And I'll get back to that thing where how can you run an association?
Yeah.
You don't have a bit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so he knows he's run big things.
Yeah, yeah,
so he can get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's why I knew he, as long as the people could get behind him, he would do an awesome job because, like I said, he's been the head over big state organizations before, so it's not really, that part's not really new to him.
No, and then I watch him, you know how I am, I like observe between, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And he's busted his ass at that thing.
Absolutely. No, it's, we're definitely going in the right direction nowadays, so.
Yeah. And I mean that sincerely, and mm-hmm. I'm very happy because I'm all about the education, you know what I mean, and improvement and lifting people up,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though my bar's still underground, I'm getting it. I mean, I got a trench going now, so maybe I can get it out of the dirt.
You just never know. It's possible.
It is.
Right, well, let's give him a call. I'm going to unplug you and plug the phone in.
Okay, as usual.
Let me move my mic so we can both talk on it.
Someone said something about how did we set us up now because I'm level with you.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Uh-huh.
I said you had to buy me a steps, you know.
All right. All right, let's see if this damn thing works here.
Hello?
Yes, is this Mr. President?
Yes, sir. How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Is the speaker okay or on the regular?
Nope, I hear you.
That's okay. Okay, good. Nice.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Chuck?
Great. Great. Had right nice on. Talking to you yesterday, by the way. Productive.
Yeah. That was very good. It got my wheels turning in my head on quite a few different things, so that's good.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. I did it again.
Yeah, oh, well. That's okay. I won't volunteer you too quickly.
Okay.
Are you guys all put away from the show?
I don't know. We got some kind of reverb going on.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really technicians.
We're still rookies at this. So.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. But
is it the speakerphone or is it on your end?
Yes, I think.
Yes, all of the above.
No, you're okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
He's going to call back on the regular phone.
Okay, is that what he's going to do?
Yep.
Kevin Tedder?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that doesn't help either, does it?
Yeah, it's a lot, little bit.
I hear you a lot better.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, good. Yeah, I can't hear you as well, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry.
I'll stick my hearing aid in.
There you go.
Can you put one of them horn things against the phone, you know, and in your ear?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I need to be able to turn stereo where I can just crank the whole thing up.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty bad these days.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's stick this guy in and see if that does it.
Okay, again, what you do in your personal time.
Let's see here. All right, let's try that.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Oh, got you loud and clear now. That's right. Good.
Good deal.
All right. Yep.
So, just coming off the show, it was a hell of a success, if I do say so myself.
Can you do? What are you doing, Kevin? The dishes?
What's that? Am I doing the dishes? No, I had to switch it back over to the speaker. I can't hear you well enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, good.
All right. This is funny.
Yeah, there's always
something on our show, Kevin.
Chuck's sitting too close to the machine is what the problem is.
That's it. And I can't stand 10 feet away because we don't got a cord that long enough for the mic. But we're going to get one. So.
How long have you guys been doing the podcast now?
1 year.
Yeah, we've just over a year on Spotify.
Yep.
Okay, so the ones that you were doing at the show last year was sort of the beginning of it.
Yep, right. That was the first few episodes. Yeah.
Nice.
And we've kind of grown from there and grown in technology. And I mean, as long as Matt does it.
Yeah. So that's why Chuck didn't record any by himself this year because
Matt's hands were full and I don't have a permission slip and there was no adult supervision.
Well, see, what you need to do is you need to put the switch a little lower for him so that he can reach it.
Something like that.
Or, well, next year maybe Levi can be my co-host and he can run the board, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, he took some winnings home this week, so yeah, maybe he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good to see a lot of kids there at the show. And
a lot of new experience.
And especially on the novice division. Boy, there was a ton of stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking about that in the intro, you know,
and then
the ladies coming to just everything all the way around,
mm-hmm.
Kids, grandkids, adults.
Then you had all the old goats show up there too. So that was really nice.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we got somehow like the stars are aligning, Kevin.
Yeah.
And the ship has been turned around, I think. And it makes me really happy.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I was, after I talked with you yesterday, I was working on going through this package of stuff that I got from past board member Don Covert. Mm-hmm. And he had yarded out a bunch of stuff when I went by to pick up donations from him. And he had a bunch of old scorecard, score sheets, and for himself. He had everything. Plus, he had a bunch of lists of old scores. Plus, he had a whole stack of old newsletters.
Awesome.
And all of these guys that you guys keep mentioning, like you know who they are, and like everybody knows who they are. They're, you know, taxidermy great, if you will, from our area and whatnot. They're all their names are splattered all over these.
Uh-huh.
And so as I'm going through, it's like, well, this guy's talking about that, and this guy's talking about that. And of course, I ran across a lot of really old pictures. I ran across a picture of you when you were tall.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And then a bunch of these other guys, you know, that you see now, and you hardly recognize them from then.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, some of these were early 2000s and late 90s. So.
Right. And there, yeah. And there was more than that. He just didn't have them, you know.
Yeah.
There was actually a picture of me somewhere because – and standing in front of my shop with long hair and everything, you know.
Yeah,
going way back. So.
Yep, that picture was in there also.
Oh, that one was. Oh, okay.
Yep, that I'll send that one to you also. Yeah, there was a picture of you standing in front of your shop, and then there was another one of you standing in front of. I forget what it was. Some kind of critter that you had a close up, you know, where you were standing head to head with it, and it was a section. It sounded like you wrote a little section in the newsletter every time.
Oh, thank me. I forget. But yeah, Jim, I think Jim, see, you got me trying to remember all this stuff now. And I think Jim had asked me to write a couple of things for some reason.
Yeah.
That I can't remember. And I had asked him to come and, you know, maybe he'll show up next year. Send him that picture, you know. We were only missing, as far as I was concerned, Finato, marinara sauce, and Silva.
Yeah.
We had, and then sadly, a lot of the other OGs are gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, your idea of that, the new award, and I won't say it unless you want to, but.
No, go ahead and say it. It was an idea I threw it past Matt first yesterday.
Yep. Your idea of the Old Goat Award. By bringing back some of these old guy taxidermists, I thought of another option of that too, aside from them being able to come back and pick a winner that was on the show floor. We could have the Old Goat Challenge as well.
Oh.
And challenge these guys to bring the same thing, whether or not it's, you know, whatever they're all doing, like if it's a bird or a, you know, a deer or whatever, have them come back and throw one together and challenge each other to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'm up for that. I'm not the best bird guy, but I'll try and beat I never beat Alan Dowdy, but he's he's kind of a medium old goat. He's not really the old guard, you know?
Right.
He was young when he came in and around and working with Mike, and he was lucky enough to go to the Frasers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother story we won't talk about for poor Alan. But,
right.
Anyhow, but man, did he do good. Oh, my God.
No, he did. He was awesome like always.
Yeah. The more I dig into this, you know, these old newsletters and this old information, the more it excites me to try and revive some of that. And like you said about, you know, the tide turning, you know, I think that the tide is the more we dredge it up, the more the tide will turn.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know, some of those old guys coming was totally based on Gary wrote letters to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That said, hey, you guys, please come down, da 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 da, we'd like to get you all together, etc. And so that was part of it. And then of course I reached out to a couple of people, and I think you reached out to a couple of people.
Yeah.
And darn if they didn't all show up. So that was great.
Yeah, and I just got a thing from Tony Finazzo yesterday. So I'm kind of back in communication with him.
Nice.
I don't know how his health is, but I think I can probably twist his arm, definitely to get him on this show, and if not, get him back up to the show.
Yeah, so I got two names to run by you to see what you can tell me about them currently. One is Barth Howard, and the other one's Jim Silva.
Jim, I just talked to Jim yesterday.
We just talked to Jim on the show.
Yeah, we had Jim on the show.
Nice. And
Barth we were talking about him at the show. I'll dig uh-huh. into it and see what I can find out, okay?
Okay, because the reason that I ask is, you know, we had these missing score years that have been on the back of my mind and the front of my mind ever since they made me president. And I've really been pushing to try and dig and dig and dig. And so I did get three more years that we were missing. And then also there's a article in the Cat Tales, Volume 13, Number 2, February of 2001. And it's a plea to have somebody step forward to help with the scorekeeping and management of what was a show registrar and membership points keeper program.
Right.
And it made it sound like it's already up and running. It's a turnkey deal. All you got to do is just clickety-click. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that one of those two guys can give us some information on where that might have ended up or how it might have where well, those scores prior to that win.
Might be pre-Pogue. Pogue had a lot of information, but I think he was after me, the treasurer.
Yeah. So, this looks like it would be anything before 2000 is kind of what I'm looking at, 2000 and beyond.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I thought also about the show this year that there was a lot of representation of, different animals and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We always have a lot of deer. You know, deer seem to be king of what people get mounted and what people are able to hunt a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of people asking about, well, how do they get a hold of specimens to work on? And, I said they needed to drive faster and sweep them a bit, right? And pick them up fresh and take care of them.
Fish and Wildlife, that's a joke, okay?
It is a joke, totally a joke. But what I really told them was is that this taxidermy association, and what my guess is every taxidermy association, always have people that are willing to step up and help somebody out.
Yeah.
And here's a good example of it. We had a gal there that was exhibiting this year in the novice category. She happened to mention to the bird judge, national accredited bird judge, right? Mm-hmm. Happened to mention to him that she has a hard time getting, getting specimens. Mm-hmm. The next day of the show, or it was on Monday, I get a call from the mammal judge, and he said, hey, the bird guy was telling me that one of your people was looking for some specimens, and we'd like to get her name and number so we can get some sent to her.
Awesome.
Wow.
Is that great?
You're
talking about this guy all the way from Georgia. He's willing to pack up some stuff and send it to her so she's got something to work on.
Yeah, that's great.
That's just excellent, you know.
Yeah, and I told a couple people I'd go through my freezer and see what I could give them. We're all willing to help.
Absolutely.
That's what it's for. It's for the education and furtherment of the,
taxidermy, yeah.
Yeah, and it was for them. Really wasn't supposed to be for getting all the, like we were talking yesterday, I don't want to get fired again. Yeah. I just got back in, but... what I mean. It's for them.
Yeah, exactly. It is for them because we put a lot of efforts, to make it all happen and all that. And, our board is excellent. And people, you look around the next few days after the show on the web and people posting this and that on Facebook and here's what I want. Every single one of you, read through those comments and you see how the board put on such a great show for us. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really makes me proud that we have that kind of group put together now.
Yeah.
And that we're able to put that kind of show on. And even though it's exhausting to make it all happen, we're already looking forward to next year.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Even sort of this podcast in a little bit, this episode is for next year already.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how fired up we are. And that's why I was happy you could come on the first one after the show while this is all fresh in our head.
Yeah.
Because that'll tell you by Thursday, I won't even know there was a show last week. So.
Yeah, exactly. You get too wrapped up in the day-to-day, and life moves fast these days,
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Trying to keep up with customer work and
plan. Yeah, and then we were even saying about our seminar, there was something we could do better, except for that.
Yep.
Sadly, me and Matt only got one speed, which is flank speed, and... we have to learned how to slow down more a little bit and explain more as we go. So,
well, my philosophy is if you're going to ride my bus, you better get on and get on board and hang on, because I can't slow down for everything, you know.
This is just how our foundation was taught to us.
Yeah.
And that was the goal, is to do what we do, and that's what we do.
You know, yeah.
Like I was telling you on the phone, when you come down and you'll see all that, you're just going to go, whoa, I can really do that. You know, yeah, and you can if you want to. And if you don't that's okay too. If you want a 2x4 with your name on it, we have lots of a lumber yard around the corner, and we'll go get you one. That's kind of an inside joke, but...
Yeah. Well, it was amazing to see, you know, like last year, imagine you do two or three deer in the three-hour challenge.
Last year I did two, yeah.
Two deer in the three-hour challenge. So, you know, for most guys thinking, mounting a deer in an hour and a half, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't sloppy either. They were very nice. So, you know, then you turn around, you mounted a pig, you know, live action this year, while you're doing a seminar on it. I don't think you had an hour and a half in that.
Yeah, it was at an hour and a half, I think, with all the slowing down to talk the little
bit. Yeah, and I had to slow my sewing down. It took me like 30, 20 minutes or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
Took me twice as long as normal.
That's amazing.
You couldn't see the seam either, though. That's the thing. It was tight and clean, you know.
And for guys that are trying to make money in taxidermy, they got to figure that out because, you know, like I know some people – like, take, for instance, that steelhead that Tom Weatherson had this year. Mm-hmm. He told me he had over 100 hours in that thing.
Yeah.
Well, you can never do that on any commercial project ever. You just can't.
Right? No.
You got to knock it out and get on to the next one to make some money. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be paying to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, and then I was telling Frazier this morning, I said, I looked at that show and I realized that probably the only true full-time guys there was me and Matt, and maybe the from Reno guys. And
there's only a handful. I mean, but granted, like everybody says, this isn't a commercial show. It's an art show, and yeah, that's cool. But
right,
I mean, I just got two best of categories on two things I did at commercial speed. So
right, yeah, so it can be done, and that was the goal too. That was the goal too with our system. You just tweak it a little bit if you want to play the game.
Yeah.
And you still do the same, you know?
Yeah.
Or even worse, my wee pig was really screwed. I wasn't even going to, it doesn't matter. I'm really happy. I'm happy with my score. I'm happy with it all because it doesn't matter. I did it for Travis.
Yeah, absolutely.
For private, and I'm going to put it in my granddaughter's room.
And there you go.
Culmination of a 20-year-long thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good stuff. And you know, I hope that when we look back at this, you know, Matt's a couple years younger than me, but I hope that when you know the current crew looks back on this stuff from 20 years from now, that you know, we're seeing what we did and how we made things better and how the taxidermy industry is alive and thriving. And I think it's really all going to be about. Just like what you've got going on. You told me, Matt, a long time ago. I said, hey, I'd like to come down. I'd like to learn this or learn that, da-da-da-da. You know, charge me whatever it is. I don't care. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you said was the way that you were taught was to pass things on.
Absolutely.
And that's what your goal is to pass on that information, to pass on those skills and abilities. And that is really what it comes down to, because you know, none of us is going to last forever, right?
Yeah.
And these things that we learn, if you don't pass them on to somebody else and teach them, then it's gone. And this is why, like, for me, my hunting heritage is like my mantra, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's all about getting the next generation involved and excited about hunting. Mm-hmm. I wake up thinking about hunting. I think about hunting all day long. When I go to bed, I'm thinking about what I'm going to dream about hunting. And then I wake up thinking about hunting all over again. And that's what I want these kids to do, because it's kept me out of trouble a long, long time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because you got to have your act together to be able to hunt mm-hmm. and have the money to do it and the freedom to do it and all those sorts of things. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, now I know all my problem was I thought about other things all day long.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, well, no, Kevin, it is just great. I mean, that sounds kind of gushy, but if you realize, like I was, you know, that's why I try to talk to you in private a little bit about stuff and why I walked away and how, you know, and how upsetting it was to see it get all about the ribbons.
Yeah.
And then we're such a small group in fact, in our group, we give away I might as well say it, a lightsaber when you're become a Jedi. And we call we call us the rebellion because there's more people going the other way than us, you know.
Right.
And then what I was telling you just about the industry coming in and getting on the boards and then trying to channel a direction of the winnings to sell mannequins.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And that's not a game research place. You're gonna sell a mannequin, it's because you took it to the show like Matt mm-hmm. and then went on it, right?
Right.
That's how you sell mannequins Mike's way anyway.
Yeah. Right, right.
So anyway, we got a future Jedi coming up here.
Nah.
Yeah. But
Matt's far too humble. He's far too humble for him.
Him and Rudy too, man. In Australia, that guy, he's like blah blah blah. I go, dude. You're hand fleshing a life size elephant.
Yeah.
You know, mounting it. Yeah. The one that was in the John Wayne movie way back in the day. You know, and he's doing this and doing that. And when he came here to America, because he was a great mammal guy and reptile guy, like small mammal, like he could do a wombat and a platypus, and he wanted to learn game heads. And we're the first, you know, I'm going through his Facebook and showing me all the hot shots there, and I go, well, what do you see? Oh, I don't know. And I said, well, look where the ears, blah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He came from there to go into his show and winning everything. And I mean everything. You know? So, too humble. Matt's too humble, too. Matt is the most dedicated, motivated, and hardworking guy. And I'm so grateful that he's here because I'm getting ready to, like, really slow down in the day. And Matt will tell you I freaked out a little bit when I realized that it was going to not be the same. And I have all this crap in my head. I need to give it to somebody because it does get lost, like you said, Kevin.
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. It will get lost if somebody doesn't turn over and learn it well so that he can teach it to the next person.
Well, yeah, and a lot of it I tried to do videos and tips, but then what happens is when we're in here, a lot of it doesn't come back up till we run into the roadblock, you might say.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, oh, sure, well, this is how we, you know, and this is that. I go, we should film this. And then because of how we are, by the time I say that, we're already done. And then you can't go backwards and, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, let's tear that apart. That worked really good. Let's tear it apart and do it again. No, you already got the next piece on the stamp.
Exactly. That, dude, that's kind of not a lie. You know,
yeah.
And then what Fraser used to get a lot back in there was he's cutting corners, he's this, he's that. No, he's not. You know, because once you'll see, we'll show you, and then we'll prove it by some. You know what I mean with in anatomy books and stuff. But once you understand how it works, it becomes a lot easier, and you spend a lot of less time guessing where to plant that ear. Or where this muscle goes or that muscle goes, because every time it goes here.
Yeah.
Right? Every time it works like this. Unless you're twisting the head upside down, okay, then, you know. Yeah. We were asking me, ma'am, we're joking. I go, how are these judges, like, how did he turn himself upside down and backwards to see that thing on my page? They're amazing. But, you know, I think them judges did a really good job this year, actually.
At first, I was skeptical.
You know, really was.
Yeah, they did do a really good job, and I think that it was a real smart move to get two judges to do mammals, you know, the heads and the life size. because last year, you know, with a single judge and as many as we have, he really struggled to get through it all and do as thorough of a job as we like. You know, that's what we want. That's what we're paying for. And with two of them, they were able to break it up a little bit and kind of go back and forth and help each other out. And that was great. The Burr judge, I'll tell you what, that, I went in there, it was like 11 o'clock one night. He was still in there judging birds.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to get ahead of it, and he didn't want it to be all pushed to the last second. And so Friday night, well, he was up there late, you know, working on birds and Thursday night, really late working on judging birds. And the fish guy, they always have it pretty easy because we don't have very many fish. And, you know, then he just had the habitat to judge, but super nice guys, all of them.
Absolutely.
And now we got to start thinking about who's going to judge next year, you know, getting those lined up now.
Cool. So let's segue into what about the consistent judging and all of
that.
It's kind of like what Rick Crane said about standards when they say, oh, our standard, well, there are no standards really. See?
Yeah.
You know, and I've got to say that when I went to, when I started coming back, it was after I started working with Matt Moore, I started coming all the time. And then.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
It's because of the barbecue.
Yeah. No, just because. No, I don't even think I was on the barbecue team yet then. I wasn't even a prospect. I was just a hang around. Anyway, because that's how you got to get in. You got to hang around first, and then you prospect.
Right.
And if you make it, you get patched out and get your apron. But anyway.
Then you get to cut salad up, huh?
Yep. No, I'm still on the bread thing, you know.
Okay, you haven't even made it to salad
again
yet.
Last night, nah. Well, I served the salad, but I haven't mixed it. But anyhow, so back then, and was that Woodland?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Woodland, I was talking to someone on the board there, and I said, well, what about the judges meeting? And they go, well, what's the judges meeting? And he goes, oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I said, no, a judges meeting is you when the judges are there, and then like the jack guy, game head guy said, how do we want to judge this, right?
Right.
And I thought you did the best job I've ever seen Kevin in a long time.
Thank you.
I'll say this, and this is no offense to our judge, but a lot of times when guys come off a title like he won and they're just starting to judge and they can't help, they don't even know they're, you know, it's that they have a standard in their head, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And they tend to look at that, but you can't go to a state show and where there's toothless bubbas from Ojai that don't wear shoes, and you can't judge it at that level of what, you know.
Right.
And now I think if we keep having the judges meetings like you did and explain to them how you did that about the ribbons, we at least at our show will have some consistency starting.
Yeah.
And in that way, as they improve, they're not going to have a 88 one year and an 82 the next year. When they've gone home and really cleaned up their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, when they come off those national wins, they're looking at perfection as the goal, right?
Right.
Exactly. They're looking at, you know, a 99 or a 98 as being, you know, they got to be up there.
Yeah.
You know, but a blue ribbon starts at 90.
Right.
So, you know, so they've got to, like, think their way backward through that, you know. And I read through my scorecard last night a little bit more when I finally had time to look at it. And, you know, I see the points that he made, and especially with my critique, it was all totally valid. I look at it now, I'm like, yep, he's absolutely right about that. But I don't understand exactly how they take how many points off for how many, for what different things. So I'm going to dig into that a little bit more in my own education.
Can I say something about that? Because I got a lot.
Absolutely.
Some of the things were only a 1-point hit or a 2-point hit. And remember yesterday I was telling you they were dropping a whole ribbon if you didn't do this or do that, which is completely wrong. Or they're taking off too many points for, you know. And I know a guy that went and proved it one year, way back in 2003, I think. And he did 3 deer. And he did one with all the whistles and bells, and then he did one in the middle, and then he did one less than how we put our
straight out of the box
one, And the straight out of the box one got, check this out, 96.
Wow.
96.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I was going with that, Matt. Help me. There was a point I always try to make.
Deductions.
Oh, the deductions, yeah.
The deductions, yeah.
Yeah, so then at the bar, his wife was hanging out with the judge, and he said, well, he didn't put the sinuses so you can see the brains, and he didn't put the dictator membrane in the crinkle. And he goes, yeah, and what? So then he'd get 150 points? I mean, you get what I mean? Because nobody gets 100, right? And but the point he was making was his anatomy was so strong and his system is so good and it's so clean that he had to give that one a 96. It actually did better than one with all the other stuff because they start taking off points because then they start going, all your transition into your from your boogers to the snot is not correct and, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
All that crap.
You know, as I ran through some of the scorecards that Don Covert had given me for his own, you know, records, and some of the scorecards were minuses for things, right? Mm-hmm. So you started out with 100 points, and then under the different things they were looking at, -2, -3, -1, whatever.
Right, that's what I was getting at. You minus them.
Then there was a whole other score sheet that was just the opposite. It was like, for this item, it was like a +18 or a +14 or a +17.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing as the pluses and minuses, but I guess you got to look at it two different ways. Mm-hmm. Are you starting out with a zero and trying to get to 100, or are you starting out with 100 and knocking them down to whatever it is?
My understanding was the OOGs, the original guys that came up with this, we were supposed to start at 100.
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
And then so say Mike said like a tear duct knock, which is a big one, might only be 2 points, right? And a lip line might be a point. You get what I mean? And so,
right. So
that's how they got where they got. And
right.
And so it wasn't it. But and then I got to say this. So remember Alan Dowdy said someone was talking to him and said us old guys got it easier
because
it wasn't as hard. I would take issue with that because we had all kinds of judges there back in the day. It was just as hard. In fact, you know, old Guthrie used to bring a case of tissue boxes from Costco, and just before you walk in on the morning with the ribbons, you just start handing out tissue boxes.
You know, but, that's not a good sign.
No, but I was telling Matt just this morning, I said, you know what it is? And Stefan said this too, because we were walking around and he goes, you know, the quality of the taxidermy now that we're putting out from our show is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Cal State show, I would say the bar has been raised.
Absolutely.
Not that the judging is harder. I would say that it's just, because that's our goal, right?
Exactly.
So even the novice guy is putting out a better, not a better, but he's putting out, like the kid could charge for that deer.
Yeah.
You know, he could mount deer and get money for him, and it wouldn't be wrong.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It might not be like Tom's or something, or, you know, Matt's or whatever, but it would be better than a lot of work you see
at
the guys that have made a whole living at it. Right?
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there's also a, you know, a price range thing. You know, if you're not as experienced and, you know, you're doing work that's, let's say, an 88, right? You're doing an 88, you're doing an 86, you're doing an 85. You know, you're going to charge a certain amount. If you're knocking out 95s and 96s all day long, you can charge a little more.
Well, we charge a little more for 88s because we feel that's 2 points off of first. That's our average. Honest to God, that's our average work piece without screwing around with it. And if you can put a solid high second out the door every day at our quality, our show, hell.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a blue ribbon, there's guys that are, you're correct. There's guys putting out, you know, from them Reno boys, if that's what they do every day, you know, they can charge whatever they want. But you should always value yourself, though. This is what frustrates me. And then when you hear that famous, Rick Crane is really tough on this. If you go back and listen to that one, Kevin, about the pricing. Why is Bondo cheaper?
Yeah.
You know, forms cheaper is no. You get what I mean? Like your costs are fixed.
Yeah.
And so you need to charge for your work.
Right.
And you're right. If you're just learning, then you might charge, you know,
a
little less. But once you start putting out clean work, and if you're making a living at it, then you need to charge the same as anybody else.
Yeah, you'll find out as you go. These ribbons we get mean very little to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it doesn't really matter, because when they walk up and look at the deer you did for them, that's all that matters right there.
100%. That's what it's, the green ribbons is what we're going for.
Yeah, I did a deer for a client last year. It was the very first deer that I'd ever mounted, actually, and it was a client deer, friends of mine, but still, it was a paid job.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I took a seminar with Tom, and he mounted one deer, and I mounted one beside him, just like I did my antelope this year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got done with that deer, I stood back and looked at it, and I said, you know what? That deer looks just fine.
Yeah.
And when they saw it, they were like, wow, you knocked it out of the park. This thing's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, as long as the client's happy, I'm happy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, they want it, and they want it back that year.
And they want it back, right. That's the other thing, yes. It can't take you 2-3 years. It needs to be better.
And then quicker. Another thing you'll notice that happens is, like, as our mounts get out there more, and guys put them up against their other guy. They don't know why it looks different, but all of a sudden you're starting to get these guys coming in because yours just looks better, you know, or more like a deer or whatever it is. Like you were telling me about your mount that you were really happy with until now.
Yep.
And now, now you know that the armpits are up on the back.
They're wrong.
You know.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, which is, it just makes me have a more critical eye now that I never had before, because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I think 90% of the people, they look at a deer head hanging on the wall, they look right at the horns, and they go, wow, that's a nice 4x4.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly.
And as long as it doesn't look like, you know, it's cross-eyed or you know, got a goofy face or whatever, as it looks like a deer should look, all the intricate details that we stress about, especially on show pieces, they don't even know that they're there. They don't even know they're an issue.
Oh, no, exactly.
Or a lot of times we like stress, man, I've done this a bazillion times. There's some fatal flaw that I see, like this flashing red light that I can see when I look at the mount. And then the picky guys come in and they ding you on some stupid thing that's right, you know. I mean, that, you know,
your antler should be tilted forward more.
Oh yeah, that guy. this true story. Guy comes in here, right? Maybe with Matt standing there, and he goes, "You know how you set all your antlers wrong?" And I'm like, "No." Why don't you enlighten me, Mister Guy who doesn't know anything?
Right.
And then he tells me how I do it wrong, and I show him the skull he's holding in his hand, and I go, "Well, how does that happen when it, you know?"
It's attached to the skull.
Well, no, when I showed him the skull, well, how he wants it, it's not like that on the skull, okay?
Right.
And so I said, so what you want is you want me to do it wrong because in your mind, you think it's going to make your antlers look different.
They're going to stand out more.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to tell you, if I kick it up how you want, it's going to screw my whole thing up because my ears are going to go, nothing's going to land where it needs to land.
Yeah.
Even if it's only half an inch, Kevin, it really screws it up, you know? And
it comes off the animal a certain way, the way it was when it was alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to try and put it back exactly like that.
Yeah. So what happened is happening to you is you're what I call it when I say you're learning how to see now.
Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah.
You're learning how to see, and that, I say that a lot, and I don't know how that translates into English, if they understand what that means, but that's what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
You start taxidermy deer, you think you even know what a deer looks like, and actually, you have no idea. You know it's a deer because it's got ears, antlers, eyes, you know, but you don't know how it really is on the end, you know what I mean? And then as you learn, like I was listening to the judge's seminar about the hair pattern, everything being where it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
and you start pulling them little patterns that we talk about.
Yeah.
You see? people don't even know that some of them little patterns, and that's like what you said, at the national and world level, they're looking for every hair to be in place.
Yeah.
Now that's
exactly,
you know, and you can achieve that a lot on your mounts just by having everything go back where it needs to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And not fight it. So.
And it does take a lot of studying on, you know, live reference to figure that out because, you know, I know like we're just working with Tom where he'd say, well, see this little thing of hair? This little thing of hair belongs right here, right over this spot. And if it's not there, it's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Well, as a newbie, you wouldn't even know that pattern of hair was even an issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, you think you got a weird cowlick or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then when you come with us, we're going to have the caliper and the tape measure talk.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. There you go. I'm really excited and interested about this to see, you know, a different way because I think the more widespread you can do your learning, the better off you're going to be because you're going to, like you said, you're going to get a little thing for your toolbox over here and a little thing for your toolbox over here.
Yep.
And a little thing that you've learned on your own because you did it wrong three times and you finally figured it out.
Yep.
And you put all those things together and you can put a nice project together.
And then once you have a foundation, then we call it adjust. We got all these little things we say.
Yeah.
So you learn our foundation, and we say adjust to taste. Well, what does that mean? Well, Kevin likes to, he wants to sew right to left or whatever, or he likes this, you know, and that none of that really matters as long as your foundation and you don't deviate from that part, you know. Then I don't care if you stand upside down and sew it or you adjust it to taste, you know. And
right. Well,
like I said to Matt, I'm always liking like how he does this and that, but I'm starting to think it's the vertical challenge part or something, you know what I mean? And y'all, and everybody touches something different,
yeah.
And that's just a fact, you know?
Right.
And you just can't touch it the same as another guy, and so you adjust it a little bit, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Right.
Anyway. Yeah, it's interesting that there are so many different facets to putting an animal together, taking it apart first, and then putting it back together.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't know that really technology has helped us out because you're still cutting things with a blade, you're still fleshing things the way you had to flesh them, you're still putting things in with clay, like you know, has been done forever.
Yeah.
And, but you still have the thing that hasn't changed, you still have to have the eye to put that together in the right way.
100%. Right.
And it sounds like you guys have developed more of a system of, if you do it this way, step A through step Z, it will come out every time.
Every time. And
much.
Then when you said taking it apart, see, that's where our foundation starts. Okay.
Right.
We're mounting the deer head and we'll explain this to you. Or whatever head. Yeah. When we're taking it apart, we're already starting to mount it in a way.
Yeah.
With how we, you know, even though you're turning it and fleshing it, blah, 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 it's all basic stuff. But in the way we cut our antlers is every time, you just pretty much got it. Well, Matt has to recut mine more straight, but that's a whole nother joke.
Yeah,
but
well.
Basically, we cut it in a way that it's just going to go right onto the block.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And you just tweak it a little bit. You're not screwing around, right, and blah, blah, blah.
You don't have to set your antlers three times. You don't have
to.
Right.
Yeah, it's one and done and get paid, you know.
It could, because the more times you touch it, you know, and then so we try to touch everything once. And sometimes we don't, you know, but and you know, that's just what our job is. But like you said, to me, and then I'll get fired again, to me, if you can't lay a nose over a thing, like a bear nose, if you can't do a decent bear or pig nose, like on the little wee pigs, we didn't have no artificial nose to stick on there.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do it with the skin, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't, you know, and he liked that, you know, and it was a, you know, but if you can't dress a seam,
yeah,
what are you doing, you know? I mean, that's our job basically. And
when
I say, well, or was I heard somewhere where they said, well, there's not a seam on a live animal, and I go, yeah, well, there wasn't a bullet put in it. There didn't used to be a bullet hole through it.
They weren't filled with foam either.
Right, and they weren't gutted, and you know what I mean? So no matter what you do, and I know everybody's turning themselves into pretzels trying to mount a whole deer through a 2-inch hole or whatever, have at it, you know?
Yeah, I'm no
like
kidding.
We said at our seminar, if you're fighting a pig to invert it hours, what are you doing? Just split it and learn how to sew.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They end up having more time trying to turn that pig inside out than we do skinning, fleshing, and mounting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then to save what? 25 minutes?
Yeah.
Because you remember, Matt, when we had that seminar with Mr. Moat a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was using, he was teaching a short incision method where he does all of his work permanent. Then he cuts it apart so that he can get his horns out of there so that he can pull his cape on in one piece.
Yeah.
And then he peels that open, he screws it back in there. And I'm looking at that thinking, that's got to be taking more time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just throwing down the back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, and there's very little difference in sewing 12 inches versus 18 inches, you know?
that really amazes me, because that 4-inch incision deal,
mm-hmm.
well, now they're cutting the heads off and putting it back on and all this crap, and I'm going, what about this? What about that? And I don't know. Why not just sew? You know, I mean... Because just cutting the head off, to me, and then you've got to put it on, and it's in the skin, right?
Yeah.
So my crazy-ass mind starts coming up with, well, I know how Chucky would line it up if you can't see, right? And what happens when the Bondo squishes out, and then how do you clean that up? And then, And I said, I'm just going to sew it. I'm just going to sew it and put a card on it and walk away.
Absolutely.
It'll be fine. Yep.
It'll be fine.
Yep.
100%.
And you look at that work in the history museum in New York that Carl Akeley did, mm-hmm. that we're going through Joe's book with that conversation with him. You look at that work 100 years later, you know, and
it's still together.
Oh man, not only together, you can't, you know.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even think of a Wyatt, just whatever.
Yeah.
He'd look at you and go, get a different job or something, you know? Seriously.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Kevin, I think, are we at that time?
Yep, we're about at that time.
Yeah.
Burned our time up, huh? Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot for having me on and stuff. And I just feel like, you know, for our organization, for the California Association of Taxidermy, things are looking up. They're going to get better and better and better. We have an excellent board. We got excellent officers. It's really coming together.
Yep.
And we pulled some older guys back into it this year to be on our board. And I think that their historical knowledge and understanding is going to help us some.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all fired up and ready to put on next year's show.
Yes,
and I heard a whisper there may have been some skullduggery that got me back in from Matt. He's smarter than he looks. Yeah, he tricked me. Oh, Ron
there you
Anderson's
go.
Coming, you know?
Yep.
What? Ron's coming?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go this year.
Yeah, I just had a little conversation back and forth with Ron earlier this morning. And
told him
that, I wanted to thank him for his, you know, he did an excellent job in his seminar this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that I can't wait to see him again next year.
Absolutely.
And of course, he says, I hope I'm here for it next year.
By the way, thank you for doing what you did. We don't have to say, but you guys did a really good thing for him.
Yeah, you bet. This is just what we do. It's what
Thank
we
you.
It's just
that's,
what we
see,
do.
That's positive. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're putting out positive and good. You're going to get positive and good.
Absolutely.
And your motives are good for that positive and good. Okay?
Yep.
It's not self-centered
exactly.
motives. It's genuine. You know, positive and goodness.
Absolutely. Like you said, for the betterment of the industry. That's what it's for.
And I got to tell you, I've been threatening to start getting back into upland birds again.
Uh-oh.
I enjoy it. And after I went back over Ron's seminar again, I said, yep, I got me some birds. I'm gonna start.
There you go.
I'm gonna start bringing birds next year, and let them beat me up. You know.
There you go. I'm all jacked up for next year already. I killed a big old critter this year, and I knew as soon as he hit the ground exactly what I was gonna do with it. And so I already have that planned out in my head, and now it's just putting all the pieces together. So okay. I'm not going to wait till the last minute like I did this year. I'm going to start now.
I think some of ours, like, and this is God's truth, Matt mounted some of them months ago. You know what I mean?
I started altering mannequins as soon as I got home from
right,
this year,
and then ours are really are dry. They really are already tweaked. You know, my wee pig, I mounted it. That got a little late, but that was still like 3 months ago or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe not quite that long, but yeah.
Well, I can't remember. You know, like, he'll tell me this moose we did. I said, that was like last month, 2 months. Well, no, it was 3 weeks ago today. Yeah. That's today. I go, oh. See, that'll start happening to you too, Kevin, when you really get you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm more devoted this year to getting it done sooner now. Because I was a little bit stressed out by spring paint on Thursday morning.
Yeah,
you don't want to be. Yeah, you know, and that's how it used to be, but it doesn't have to be like that, Kevin.
Yep. No, it doesn't have to be like that. I just have to put stuff aside and make time for it and get it done.
And then the cleaner you get, pretty soon it's just put it in with your workload, kind of like is what we do, you know?
Yeah,
mount one for yourself and while you're mounting the other ones. You know,
and just make sure it's
a little. You look at a little bit closer. Don't do what Chuck does.
Yeah.
I think I probably have 6 or 7 of my own projects in my freezer to do. And like you said, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to mount a customer job. I'm going to mount one for myself. Mount a customer job. Mount one for myself. Exactly. And by the end of the year, I'll have everything done of mine and theirs, and it'll be good.
Yep, perfect.
It's going to be great, Kevin. Yep. I appreciate you, and your enthusiasm encourages me. And when you get this positive energy, like, dude, positive waves, man. No, it starts to build. I don't know how it works.
It's contagious.
Dude. I don't know how it works. Yeah, I just know it works, right? Just like that rat. Yeah. I asked Jim Silva about it yesterday. And he goes, well, I know it was next to my rattlesnake, but I can't. He just can't remit, you know. So I think Marinaro knows, so I'm going to get a hold of him.
Okay.
He remembers everything. I know he remembers what you did. Yeah, we will. All I know is it's just a thing. And I really mean that. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's been there forever. You can't. You can't. It's just a thing.
Yeah, I knew that's what the scoop was, and when I found it in the trailer, I took it straight over and I put it on the registration desk.
And then Becky Tom got upset.
And then a little while later,
she hates that thing, man. I don't know why.
I know.
But we love Becky, but she won't be doing that forever either, so we have to think past her, you know?
I think we need to hang a little necklace around it that says Becky on the necklace.
There you go.
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. Well, I'm going to let you do that.
Right? Oh, man.
Well, again, Kevin, thank you so much for taking
your
time.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate talking to you this morning.
We'll be in touch, and I'll definitely be in touch with you over the year. Or if you have any questions, just ask me.
Yep.
You know.
Yep, sounds good. Yep, I'll get a hold of you guys and see when there's a date that will work for you for me to come down. And
I'm excited about that. Absolutely.
I'll bring down 15 or 20 projects and we'll knock them out.
There you go.
I think you said you only had 3. I said, well, shit, what are you going to do the other 4.5
That's
days?
That's just the kids.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you much, guys.
Have a good day, buddy. Care.
You too. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go.
Wow, another fantastic. Well, we had fun.
Yeah, no, always.
And like I said at the show, we're number one in Papua New Guinea.
Yep.
But I don't know if they have radios there.
Yeah.
That might be why the one guy.
That's possible.
That has a flip of cell phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the community cell phone.
Right.
Well, that was a fun episode, Chucky. All right, guys. Well, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow us everywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. And follow us on social media at Butchershop Taxidermy, at Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy, or Chuck Testa Official on YouTube.
And Facebook, I'm on there too.
Yeah, somewhere.
No, yeah. One of 57, but actually posted like more. last week than I did in like 2 months or something. Yeah,
for sure.
Maybe start to post more now.
Maybe.
All right, guys. I keep saying that.
Well, have a good one. We will catch you next week. Be good.